Another episode of the Unscripted Pulpit. If you have paid attention and followed our past couple days, been a crazy sporadic few days, but you will also quickly find out that we do not have a schedule. We do not plan to do these. We don't sit down and come up with any itinerary. We just say, hey, got something to say, let's say it. No greater time than the present. So, with that being said, there are a few matters of housekeeping, a few things we want to talk about. I'm currently solo right now. Brother Jeremiah may call in here after a little bit. He had to work today. He got off a little later than I did, so, came home from work and sat down, started reading a little bit, pondering some thoughts, and thought, you know what? Let's ponder these thoughts with my peoples. My peoples are you. Can't call y'all a congregation, even though you're listening to the Unscripted Pulpit. We're going to have to come up with a good name for you. Maybe we'll put that up as a poll as to what our followers can be called, because every good follower needs a good name, a little groupie. Anyways, I'm going off on a rabbit hole. I'm in a really good mood, so overlook me and my craziness and my stumbling around. But a few matters of housekeeping, as always. Don't forget to check out our website, www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. There you can find everything you want to know about me, Jeremiah, Sister Sarah, anything you want to know about us. We have our bios on there. You can figure out who we are. There's pictures of us, too. So for those that don't know us, you want to know what we look like, they're on there. Feel free to go check those out. All the tabs at the top, or if you're on a phone, there'll be three little lines you'll click on. It'll show a menu there on the side. Hop on there, find out who we are, find out what we are, the whole shebang. We have links on there to give you information about our church. We love our church. We love our pastor. My pastor is my best friend. The day, like, somebody asked me one day, said, how well are you and your pastor, you know, are you and your pastor get along? And I said that me and my pastor are so tight that one day when they type my obituary, they're going to mention that. He ain't going to be down there officiating the services. He, my pastor is my best friend. I love that man so much. He is, if it wasn't for him and God and my praying mother, I don't know where I'd be at. But there's links to tell you all about our church. Go check that out. You can find them on Facebook as well. Corbin Full Gospel Church of God. Give us a like, give us a follow. We oftentimes go live for services. You want to know what kind of church we sit in. We are a Holy Ghost-filled, Bible-preaching, praise the Lord and worship kind of church. Let's see, on our website, there's also a link to check out Brother Jeremiah's book that he wrote, as well as a link to show you, take you to Pen and Praise. So, Pen and Praise. In the Unscripted Pulpit, same exact group, same people. Pen and Praise is Sister Sarah Cadell's calling. She has her little blogs there. So we did have a lot of people. And to the two people that reached, actually three people that reached out to me, we actually had somebody call the pulpit line is what we're calling it. Had somebody call the pulpit line today, complimenting on the first episode or the first blog of Sister Sarah's, and was asking when the next one would be up, and then also complimenting on the show. We appreciate that. Compliments go a long ways with us. Miss Angie Lawson commented on one of our podcasts. That kind of stuff goes a far way with us, because if you all could see what I see, we are. We're sitting in the studio, or I'm sitting in the studio here, and I'm looking at screens and microphones and bright lights and stuff. So, I mean, I don't see any faces. As much as I would love to see a bunch of faces, I would love that. I can't. So, your comments, your likes, your shares, those are the equivalent of me looking at you and seeing your excitement for what God's doing here. and what God is doing in our ministry. So we appreciate those. But pen and praise is Sister Sarah. She is hoping to get some more out. I actually mentioned it today that she had to get some more writing done. But I will tell you one thing about Sister Sarah. As I said, we don't have any set itinerary or plan or anything like that. We don't plan when to do stuff. We just do it. We try our best to make this as spirit-led as possible. But one thing about Sister Sarah is she is not going to put something or publish something unless she's prayed about it, pondered on it, fasted about it, and she has the verification from the Lord to do so. She's not going to just willy-nilly write something and put it out. She's going to pray and ponder on it. And if it's not the right season for it, she's not going to do it. So, it may be a couple weeks before we get one of those out. It may be a couple days. It's all in God's hand as to when Sarah sits back and gets the confirmation and the Spirit moves for her to do so. The primary reason we really haven't got any out is if you've listened a few episodes back, Sister Sarah called in, was telling us, about how she's a teacher and stuff. And one of the big things during the time of the rolling out phase of bringing out Pen and Praise, Sarah was starting back to school as a teacher, and she just had a busy schedule and trying to get, a new schedule after summer break, new kids. All the stress that entails for that, she was trying to get that worked out. But she even mentioned today that she had some writing to do, and I'm as I am for certain that she is praying and pondering on what to bring you all next. So hopefully we'll get some more of those out. But in the near future, for right now, we have one out, which is really, really awesome. Definitely go check it out. You'll also find on our website the news and press release tab. You'll find an area that's kind of up to date on where we stand with stuff, what's going on. There'll also be some sections with our calendar. We're hoping that, as I mentioned, you can call in on the episode. We're hoping to have some other hosts come on, have some guest hosts. So we'll put those in the calendar to keep track of when everybody's going to be coming and going. And then you'll find a sign. It currently says sign up for our newsletter, but actually we're going to change the name of that just to the contact us form. You can fill that out if you want to be on the show, if you want to stay connected with us, and want to know when stuff's going to happen. We've already got a few people that signed up to get notifications when Pen and Praise is another print and Pen and Praise is released. Just kind of fill that out there. It gets sent back to me. Yes, we ask for your email, your phone number, and your name, of course. That stuff is required, but it is safely kept behind in the technology world, what they call a firewall. So you're good to go there. Nothing to worry about. We won't share those with anybody. We ain't gonna sell you information. We do all this free of charge. So, what we bring to you, if the Lord wants it to happen, He supplies financially. So there's not any way that we're going to sell your information or stuff. So more than welcome to share that information with us. What else? I think that's all really the housekeeping we got. Y'all overlook if you hear any pauses. I have had the croupy cruds today. Sinuses are killing me, so I'm having to constantly keep water flowing, keep from coughing my head off. So we have kind of a different version of show than what we would normally put out. I have some stuff to play for you to listen to. It's going to be a harsh episode. I'm just going to be honest with you all now. So I would not recommend, first off, there's going to be some things in this episode that are difficult to purvey and understand. There's also going to be some things that we talk about, some audio that we play that might be a little much for people. I'm just going to be honest with you. There is a place called hell. We've talked about heaven and hell. I mean, we try to mention it in every episode because it's the necessity of who we are. There's going to be some stuff that we talk about, some stuff that we play, some audio that we are kind of going to dissect scripturally, that we want to share. Now, viewer discretion is advised. So I said that, so it can't be said I didn't warn you. So viewer discretion is advised. I probably wouldn't let no young kids have this playing with your kids in the back of the car or anything like that. Kind of listen to this one on private. But also, the audio that we're going to share, and I'll read the story from the audio before I go into details on any of this. I have zero, zilch, nada. I have no scripture that backs up that this is possible. I have scripture that backs up that there is a hell. I have scripture that backs up that hell will be the punishment for those who do not know Christ and have come to know Christ in the free pardon of sin. I have descripting factors of hell. I do not have anything scripturally in the Holy Bible, in the King James Bible, that shows any evidence or lack thereof of the audio and the story that I'm going to read to you and let you hear. But I think it is important that the Bible does not say that we can hear nor see certain aspects of heaven and hell. Of course, we can see the bad and the good, the stuff in life. We can see miracles. This is technically counted as an urban legend, but there's enough evidence in it to say that it is not necessarily just a legend, but a factual story. Of course, as I am sure, there is more to this story than what I'm going to read to you all. There is more to different things, and there'll be a brief description prior to the audio to let you listen to it. But I'm trying to think where I want to head now. How about this? We'll go to the Bible. So, I'm not a fan. Well, I won't say I'm not a fan. I love Revelations. Revelations is just a hard book to share with anybody. Revelations is kind of difficult when it comes to being able to share and for people to understand. There's a lot of descriptive details and things in there. But we're going to do our best to share what we have going on, and what our thoughts are here. I don't have any notes took. I don't have any bookmarks made. So if you hear a little bit of a pause or anything, and you are wondering what in the world Austin is doing, just know that I am trying to figure out where I'm at, which is quite fun. And like I said, it's not for any other reason than the fact that I am not scripted. We are not scripted. We don't plan this stuff. This is just kind of the way the Lord moved for us to discuss, the way the Lord moved for us to be able to discuss this with you all this evening. Let's see. Do, 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 do. We're going to be in Revelation. I am just trying to make sure and find out that I am where I want to be. So there's a lot that we could cover. There's a lot that we could say. Actually, there's actually a whole bunch we could say. But I want to be sure that everything I say is true and upright and correct in the eyes of God, and as well as correct in what we are talking about here. So, Revelation chapter 20, verse number 7. And when the 10,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. When they went up on the bread, and they went up on the breadth of earth and compassed the camp of the saint. Let me still restart there. I am so sorry, y'all. I ain't got my glasses on. I can't see what I'm reading. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Primary thought, that I want to discuss and play a part in, is that hell is real. There are a lot of people that have come to negotiating themselves that no matter what they do, what they say, that they can get out of hell, and that there is always a time frame that they have always have time. But we know that there will come a time when time shall be no more, and that Christ is going to come back, and that that the judgment's going to come. We're all going to be judged for the things that we've done. And one of the best descriptive verses, and there's a lot of people that have heard this verse, is Luke chapter 13, verse 28. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. This is a description of what hell is. There's going to be weeping, there's going to be gnashing of teeth, and torment forever. There's no getting out of it. You're stuck there forever. It's a bad place based off biblical terminology. There are many people, I guess one might say, there's many people, like I said, that feel that they can get out of hell, that they can, that there's time left, and that there's always going to be an out. This is the best way to say that. I was looking for the right word. I'm going to find another verse here. Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 23. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in flames. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf mixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. So that right there describes how the rich man felt when Lazarus went to heaven. The descriptor is, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The rich man was in so much water, was so in so much torment, that the only thing that he wanted more was for Lazarus, the person who he had done dirty and rotten in life, to simply take his finger, dip it in water, and touch his tongue. Now, you get the chance, go home, take a glass of water, dip your finger in it, see how much water's on your finger. It's probably not even, it might not even be enough to drown an ant. Not very much water at all. Doesn't hold. But you think about how bad a pain you were in, that even just a drop of water would assist you in making things just be a little bit better. I can remember growing up playing with fireworks. My mommy and daddy always brought us, we lived in Ohio for a short span there early in my life. And when we would come down here to my family's, we would go to the fireworks store, because you couldn't have fireworks stores in Ohio. And so we would go to the fireworks store, and mom and dad would buy us bottle rockets and whiz bangs and black cats and Roman candles and all that other stuff. Stuff that we could, you know, have in Ohio that didn't fly too high or we wouldn't get in trouble for. And I can remember getting burnt by a bottle rocket one time, because I thought, you know what, instead of putting this in the bottle, I'm going to hold it. And I still have a scar actually on my left hand from it. Because when that thing shot out, it burnt the far out of me. And then I'm also reminded of another time where my mom was curling her hair. Growing up, I have very fond memories of watching my mama get ready for church. Some might find it a little weird to say or do, but I do. I remember watching my mom get ready for church and her in there curling her hair. And she made us sit on the edge of the bathtub so that we wouldn't run and get dirty. Kind of her way of quality control to keep us clean in our church clothes. But I can remember mom in curling her hair, and she had this big old curling iron. And mom always told us, don't touch it, it was hot. Well, I decided one day that I was going to touch it, and I grabbed it by the metal end, and it seared my hand. And my hand hurt so bad. I mean, it was awful. Nothing would numb the pain. Every heartbeat that I had, you could feel it. And then another story of me getting burnt. I worked at a restaurant, was working on a flat top griddle, and went to pull grease back when a spatula caught on something on the griddle and it popped up and splashed grease down my arm. I actually ended up going to the hospital for that one, had third degree burns down my arm from about wrist level on the edge of my hand all the way down. And I actually still do not have any feeling on the edge of my wrist and the bottom part of my pinky from that. I remember watching the skin all fall off of that and how awful it was and how bad it hurt. And I mean, it didn't just hurt for a few hours or a day. It hurt it. It hurt it. I can't even talk. It hurt for quite some time. So I tell you those, you know, three little stories to mention that the burn pains we've had on earth will be nothing compared to what we have on what we will experience. Well, I'm not going to say what we will experience, because I ain't experienced, and I hope you ain't either, but what will be experienced in the pits of hell. So the story that we want to discuss tonight is one that I remember hearing at a young age. It was one that was actually played, I want to say it was played at a youth rally one time we attended. But again, I want to express to you that I have no biblical out of God's word that this is possible, but it is a good illustration. And this is an old thing. Let's see here. Let me get where I'm going here. Again, this is quoted as an urban legend, so be duly noted of that, you know, the could be fictional, could be non-fictional. But the story is called The Well to Hell. The Well to Hell, also known as the Siberian Hell Sounds, is an urban legend regarding a palliative borehole in a Siberian area of Russia, which was reported to be drilled so deep that it broke through into hell. It was first attested in English in 1989, a broadcast on an American domestic TV broadcaster, Trinity Broadcast Network. Let's see here. All right. The legend holds that a team of Soviet engineers, they were led by a Dr. Azkov, Azakov, in an unnamed place in Siberia, was drilling a 14.4 kilometer deep hole, which translates 14.4 kilometers into 9 miles, I believe. Intrigued by this, they broke so deep, they drove so deep into the center of the earth that they broke into it through a ca broke breaking through into a cavity. Intrigued by this unexpected discovery, they lowered an extremely heat-tolerant microphone with other along with other sensory details into the said well. The temperatures deep within at the center of the earth was 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit. The heat was immense from the chamber of fire, which was in which they say screams could be heard. The Soviet Union had in fact drilled a hole less than 7.5 miles deep in the Kwala Super Deep Borehole, located not in Siberia but in the Kwala Peninsulas. Which, let me tell you where that is at. Okay, that is in the southern hemisphere of Russia, which shared borders with Norway and Finland. Upon reaching the depth of 40,000 feet in 1989, geological anomalies were found. Although they reported no supernatural encounters, the recording of tormented screams was later found to be looped together with various sound effects, sometimes identifying from a 1972 movie. So let me reiterate that in layman terms. There's a lot of people that says this isn't real because in let's see. See, did give it a in. Sorry, my dates are disappearing on me. Anyways, so there's two stories here. The first one is of a bunch of Soviet engineers in Russia that drilled a hole into the earth, which was 9 miles 9 miles deep. They broke into a cavity. They dropped down scientific readings, things to obtain scientific readings, and they heard sounds of screaming and torment, which I will play this, and there will be a little brief summary of all this. But then the reason that it becomes a legend or a fake story, that it's unsourced material, is because someplace else in the Soviet Union or Russia, they drilled a hole that was 7.5 miles deep, and someone altered that to make it sound as if it was the same as the first one. So there's two stories here. First one, of course, we're going to be talking about, or the one that we're just going to listen to and, you know, share for a little bit, is The one where the geologies or the Soviet engineers and geologists drilled down. This was played. Let's see. There was a man who sent it in, and it has been played on TBN, which is Trinity Broadcast Network. And they have said, Trinity Broadcast Network says and claims that it is proof. Again, we have no proof of anything. We don't know if this was real or fake. Is it a possibility that they drilled into Earth and got these noises? Yes, it is. It is a possibility. It happens all the time. Is it a possibility that, all this stuff, is it possible that this happened? Yes. Is it possible that it didn't happen? No. But again, I want to preface that this is just, I am using this solely as a, I'm just using this solely as the ideal that, to give you a description of kind of the same thing. I do want to read some stuff to you, and this, I think, will be very beneficial. These are articles. This is an article from a doctor of theology in which I have followed for many years, have heard spoke. But this will really explain and answer some. These are some questions, I guess one might say, that a lot of people have. And these are questions that I came up with. And I called his office today and he sent me this. Who was hell created for? Of course, we know heaven is for those, the right and the just, those that come to know Christ and the free pardon of sin. But in Matthew 25, verse 41, the Bible says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." On the other hand, Matthew 25, verse 33 and 34 points out that those who choose Christ will inherit the kingdom. For let's see, they will inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The original purpose of hell and its fires was for the ultimate destruction of Satan, sin, and his angels. As many might not know, but I hope that you do. Satan once was an angel of God, and he had a fall from heaven. He wanted to be the all-powerful, and that didn't happen. He got mad and left. That's Austin terminology there for you. So, one of my verses that I do want to share here is Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." The original purpose of hell, like I said, was for the destruction of Satan, sin, and his angels. Only after this cleaning of fire can chapter 21, verse 4 be fulfilled. Which is plainly states the cleaning of fire. Only after this cleaning of fire can all the tears be wiped away from the eyes of the saved, as it spoke about there in chapter or in verse number 4 of Revelation 21. People ask all the time, are there people suffering in hell right now? Job 21, verse 30 and 32 give us a picture about hell. And when its fires will burn, Job says, "For the wicked are served for the day of doom; they shall be brought out on the day of wrath." This text, along with Peter chapter 3, verse 7, shows that hell is not burning right now, but at some date in the future, the wicked are reserved and brought forth out of their graves for the day of wrath. John 5. 28 and 29 also conveys that the same message. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. Again, this outlines that the hour is coming in the near future, but is not yet, when the final condemnation and destruction happens. You can rest assured that right now, at this moment, not one person is burning in hell's fire. Now, let me preface this. All this that I am reading is coming from somewhere else. I am not going to sit here and say yes or no to that question. As in, I am not going to sit here and say yes or no as to whether or not there are people who have made their place in hell right now. I have biblical knowledge to say that there is, but there's also biblical knowledge to say that there is not. Just be honest with you. I don't want to supply you with false knowledge. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to say that. Like I said, I don't want to even discuss that or go into it. I just be honest with you. I don't have enough knowledge to sit here and say. Again, that is something that another man wrote. This is an article that I was sent to answer the questions in which I had some time ago. So this question here, where is hell located? To find out where hell is located, one must look to the context of when this event occurred to discover the details. John chapter 5, verse 29 says that the resurrection of the righteous into everlasting life, while the resurrection of the wicked into condemnation and the wrath of God. The same ideal is found in Revelation chapter 20, verse 5, when the wicked are resurrected from their graves. Note Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 6 talk about the righteous resurrection. Once the wicked have been resurrected and cover the face of the earth, the devil convinces them to attack the beloved city, which that is just what we read there. At that moment, fire comes down from the heavens and destroys the wicked and Satan. We just read that as well in Revelation 20, verse 7 through 9. Therefore, the fires of hell will burn across the entire face of earth, allowing no escape for the wicked. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 adds the following about where hell is located in this fiery event. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the element will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in will be burnt up. So, we have a pretty good idea here based off this. Like I said, this is another man's writing as to the location of hell. So again, I'm not saying this story out of Siberia is real or not real. It's an old story. Again, I am just playing this, as I said, metaphorically for you to get an idea, because it really does sound awful. It causes my goosebumps to have goosebumps. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. This feller in here that's reading, he'll kind of give a brief story. Not necessarily a story. Yeah, he'll give you the storyline of what happened. But I'm going to try to read the opening statements of this. In 1999, the Russian government organized a team of experienced geologists to investigate plate tectonics in Siberia. This was led by Dr. Avako. As the drilling team reached 4.4 kilometers into the Earth crust, they discovered a problem. The drill began to rotate wildly, indicating that they had reached an open pocket or cavern. Temperatures sensors showed a dramatic increase in the heat. And like I said earlier, there was a, I've already closed the tab in which had that pulled up. But it rained, you know, ranged from 1,000 to 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. They lowered a microphone decided de used and designed to record the sound of plate movement, but instead of plate movement, boom. See, where'd it go? But instead of plate movements, they heard human voices screaming in pain. A quote from this: "At first, we thought the sound was coming from our equipment, but when we made adjustments, our worst suspicions were confirmed. Screams were not those of single humans, but they were the screams of millions of humans." Do-do-do-do. Like I said, this is just a little precursor to this audio here. A newspaper immediately began covering the story, but within hours, the Russian government seized all photos and recordings. Some personal recordings were saved. In 2009, a recording was emailed to an American radio station. So I'm gonna play this. Like I said, whether you think it's real, whether you think it's not, if you just listen to it, it does sound awful. I want you to, well, I'll go into that on why I'm playing this, but we'll go ahead and play it. And like I said, I viewer discretion is advised from the staff here at the Unscripted Pulpit. We recommend you listening to this with headphones or in a private place. I wouldn't play this out with anybody. And you can find all this. Do your research. You can just simply YouTube sounds from hell in Siberia. But again, I want to give you all the opportunity now to fast forward in this. Probably fast forward about 5 minutes. I won't say that this full thing is 5 minutes, but just to be on the safe side, go ahead and squeeze on through if you don't want to hear this. Again, on behalf of all of us here at the Unscripted Pulpit, viewer discretion is advised, and we are just simply using this to point our objective to what we are discussing here.
A clean copy of it now, and I warn you, this could scare you. Here's the email. Dear Art Bell, I just recently began listening to your radio show and could not believe it when you talked about the sounds from hell tonight. My uncle had told me this story a couple of years ago, and I didn't believe him. Like one of your listeners who discounted the story as nothing more than just a religious newspaper fabricated account. The story about the digging, the hearing of the sounds from hell is very real. It did occur in Siberia. My uncle collected video and so forth on the paranormal, supernatural. He passed away fairly recently, but he would have loved your show. He let me listen to one of the audio tapes that he had on the sounds from hell in Siberia, and I copied it. He received his copy from a friend who worked at the BBC. It took me a while to find it tonight, but attached is that sound from my uncle's tapes. It's not the greatest quality, but the sounds are there. I was very hesitant to send you this, as the sound bothers me to listen to. I'd suggest that if you do play it on the program, warn listeners in advance so they may have the option of turning the radio off for 30 seconds while it plays. It has always haunted me. To those who discounted the Siberia sounds from hell story, it is true, and I, for one, wish it wasn't.
So I'm going to pause it right there. As you heard this gentleman say, in his precursor to playing this sound, the next 30 seconds, probably 30 to 40 seconds, I do want to again stress to you the legitimacy of this. It does sound disturbing. So, you know, hurry up, go ahead and fast forward from this point on. I'm going to give about a 5 second stop here, so you'll hear. Actually, what you'll hear is our opening music, what you usually hear when you first start listening to the podcast. That's about 25 seconds long. After you hear this music, our opening theme song play, I'll restart this video back. But I like I said, I want to be fair and just, and I want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to fast forward just a little bit. But viewer discretion is advised for those that want to listen.
Rick, listening from Chicago. And so I submit now they cleaned a better copy to you, and I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
So again, we're back. That is one of those things, like I said, we have no evidence. I said that that is real, other than, you know, science that they have. But a quote from Dr. Aznikov, which was one of the Soviet engineers, he was quoted saying this to the British Broadcasting Network, the BBC. As a communist, I don't believe in heaven or hell, but as a scientist, I believe in hell. We were shocked to make such a discovery. We know what we saw, and we know what we heard, and we are absolutely convinced, as my other scientists have said, that we have drilled through the gates of hell. Again, I cannot preface that scientifically it is correct. I cannot say that biblically we have any evidence of much, and if there is, I would love for somebody to call in and tell us about it. As I've said, you know, as myself and as Jeremiah said, we're not Bible scholars, y'all. We are just people that love the Word of God, and that we, you know, we put in the effort to study it out. My primary point, like I said, for playing that, wanting to scare you or wanting to do, was not of any intentions other than to have the opportunity to, well, just simply put, have the opportunity to prove, to have something to back up. Biblical scripture. Let's see here. There's a whole bunch of them I could read. A whole bunch. Psalms 145:20, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. Matthew 5:22, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca, which also translates to fool, be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say fool shall be in danger of hell's fires. Excuse me. Matthew 10:28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Matthew 13:50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be waiting a gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25:46, And these things shall go, let's see. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Luke chapter 12, verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killeth his power and cast into hell. Ye, I say unto you, fear him. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction in the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Revelation 14:11, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. That's mentioning in the mark of the beast. Revelation 20:10. And then, let's see, is that? Yeah, Revelation. That's right, the next one. All right, thumbing through the Bible here to find these. Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceiveth them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented night and day forever and ever. We just read that. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21:8, But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and the liars shall leave their part in the lake which burneth with brimstone and fire and is in the second death. Y'all, we have more than enough scripture to sit here and know that there is a hell. That last verse I just read, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderer, the whoremonger, the sorcerer, the idolater, the liar, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I ask you tonight to reevaluate your life as to where you stand. Our primary goal of this is to not only tell you our testimony and have a way to share the Word of God with you, but to also have the opportunity to be able to tell you that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I ask and wonder there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, look over those topics in which it talks for. It says simply right there, the unbelieving. Let's see, but the fearful, the unbelieving. Do you believe tonight? The abominable, the murderer, the whoremonger. What kind of life are you living? The sorcerer. You know, this day and age, we have a time where people feel like palm readings are really, that's sorcery. Idolaters, the liars. They shall all have their lake in they shall all have their place in the lake of fire. So I wonder if you was to sit back and reevaluate your life and you was to see where you are at right now with what you have going on, I wonder if you would look at your life and connect with the thought of where you will end up at some point when the judgment shall come. The Bible plainly states, as we've already read here, that judgment is coming. It is neither fit for man to know when it is, but it's coming. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. It could happen tonight. It could happen by the time we even publish this. By the time we publish this episode, there's a lot of things that could happen between now and then. But God is coming back. There are no promises, like I said, of tomorrow. Sorry, I'm typing here. Mercy. Anyway, sorry, I was trying to find what I was looking for there. There are all of these things that we have to think about. the things in your life in which you are doing, are they right and fitting to God? Most importantly, not only are they, you know, the things in your life that you're doing, are they right and fitting to God, but we also have to consider the fact to sit back and think, am I saved? Do I know God? Does God know me? The scripture, one of the scriptures that come to mind here, if I can get it to pull up here, let me looky here, if I can get it, thumb through the word here and find it. Do bear with me just a second. Right here it is. It is so easy. Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there was no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto those that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's pretty easy, y'all. If you don't know Christ, simple process. Right there, Romans 10. The good news, the gospel of God, gospel of Christ is simply the death, burial, and resurrection. God went to Calvary, suffered pain and anguish for you and for me. Some people may sit back and say, you know, Austin, why would I want to get saved? It ain't no fun. I like, you know, we have fun things. Listen, Christians have some more fun than sinners do. And learn, speaking from somebody who knows, I know without a shadow of a doubt that a lot of the things that I've done in my life were nowhere near as fun as what I've had being a Christian. And on the best part of all, I never woke up with a hangover. I never woke up sick. Never had to wake up wondering where my keys were at or where my phone was at or anything. But it's an easy process. You just simply have to ask. Again, I apologize if anyone found any disturbance in the little thing that we played there. It was primarily, as I said, just to give the opportunity for everybody to hear, see, and know. It's a good, metaphorically, it's a good way, good descriptor with details, that sound, because it is a little harsh to hear. I hope that something I've said, I've been able to explain. I hope it makes sense. First of all, I don't say anything foolish right away. I just want to be a mouthpiece, an interpreter for what God has given me to talk about. And I know that He guides my way. If you get the opportunity, check us out online at www.theunscriptedpulpit.com. Check us out on Facebook at The Pulpit. Hopefully, we'll have some more episodes out. You know, like I said, we've put out 4 episodes in under 72 hours. So, the more that moves up on the way the Lord's working now, we might end up posting episodes every night. But here's you about a good hour-long episode. Give it a listen. Study your scripture. Bible says, study and show thyself approved. Don't take our word for it. Get in God's word. Read about it yourself. And we thank you so much for listening. Again, without our listeners, we wouldn't have nothing. But again, check us out online. We appreciate you all. Hope you have a wonderful day, night, whatever time it is currently when you're listening to this. And we will catch you all on the flip side. But most importantly, remember to always walk with Jesus.